You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Henshaw and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our show. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I am delighted that you're spending this time with us today. We appreciate all of our friends who listen. We have all heard a proverb. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. We've heard that kind of thing all our lives. And yet, our political climate, our social climate, our racial climate, everything around us is really proving that that might not be true. Words have power. Representation matters. Our words are important. And so is our guest today. Welcome to our show. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
Hi, Dawn. This is Rhonda Holybear, Lakota artist.
I'm so
glad Plains,
you're
from
here.
South Dakota and Nevada.
Wonderful. Welcome to our show. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
Well, I'm happy that you're here because we're talking about words and the power of words, and you are doing something amazing when it comes to a particular set of words that describes art and beadwork. Could you tell us about that, please?
Yes, I am leading the campaign to change the term, an outdated term called lazy stitch, which describes a type of beadwork from the Plains area, which would be, you know, up in the Dakota area. And I want to change it back to paha stitch, which means hill stitch. And that is the word or the term that our grandmothers used in the first place. And so I want to restore it.
Why is this so important to you?
I have great reverence for beadwork because its origin, because of my people who were the people who did a lot of it. They did a majority of the work that you see out there. And it just comes from a power that is beyond myself. And so I have great reverence for it. And it is spiritual work. I believe that I'm just the hands, and that power of creativity comes from way beyond me. And so I think that it just deserves a more dignified term.
I agree. And I hope someone has said thank you to you for doing this work. But in case they haven't, I want to say thank you. Thank you for taking this up.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's just, you know, I've been studying it for a very, very long time, years and years and years. I've been at this, you know, since I was a kid. But I kept coming back to the venerated Lakota women. It wasn't only the Lakota, the Arapahos, the Cheyennes, all of the women of the plains, all Native women, you know, for that matter, who do any kind of artistic craft work. They're all venerated women. It all comes from a source that's beyond us. And so I kept, you know, finding that over and over again. And I kept thinking, like, you know, why did they call it lazy stitch?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I, you know, I just kind of went back and I just kind of took a look at it, and I realized that we've been using this outdated term for such a long time that we had forgotten, many of us had forgotten, you know, mm-hmm. the original source of where the style of beadwork had come from. And so I just figured it was time to, bring that forward and kind of put the word out there so that, because I think a lot of the time we're beating along and we don't really realize where that had come from or don't even question it. But when you question it and you take a look back, you see how powerful it is. And that's what I came to know. And I was just like, all right, I am in a position where I can bring this forward now. And if I write something and I put it out there, people will start to read it and then they'll start to think about it. And so it kind of goes along with how they want to change a lot of the colonial terms. And so this fits that. This fits, it fits in with everything that is kind of happening right now. So it's time, you know, I think it's time and it's healthy, you know, it's a healthy thing to do because it is for the cause of cultural respect. Anyway, that's what I've been up to. I've been researching all of this and just kind of came to this conclusion that it just it was time for an appropriate change.
Mm-hmm. I love the term cultural respect. Can you help mm-hmm. us understand that? We have friends listening from all over the world, and I would love it if you would help us to understand the perspective of cultural respect.
Well, cultural respect is that you respect the ways, the cultural way of life of each culture. That you look at the other person's culture and admire their culture, even if it doesn't fit your own culture, you still admire what they do, and you look at that and you have to admire that and just kind of think like, okay, well that's the way they do it. You know, I have reverence for that. I have respect for it because that's the way they do it. This is their path. This is the way that they believe. And so, in the cultural respect, in regards to my own people and where I come from, the art is very, very spiritual work, and it comes, you know, it radiates power. And so you have to have great reverence for that. That's what it means. You know, you just want to all pay it the respect that it deserves by calling it, you know, its original name, you know, and not giving it another name. You know, you give it its own name, the name that the grandmothers gave it. You know, I would have, you know, if I were looking at another culture, you know, I would ask, you know, oh, okay, what do you call this? You know, oh, okay, all right, that's what I'm going to call it too, because I have respect for your culture. You have respect for mine.
Mm-hmm. That's beyond beautiful, you know. And so what do you envision will be the result of that kind of mutual cultural respect?
That we get to continue with our art, that it continues, I think it restores it. Like what I say is reclaim the name and restore it, bring that back around to what it was supposed to be in the first place. I mean, it doesn't have to be as deep and heavy as it was in the very first place, but to pay the respects to that history, and to also to realize that as you're doing all of this, these art forms, like I'm saying, it comes from a power that is beyond us, because that is the power of the universe, and there's a little piece of that within us. It resides inside of us. And that's that little place that when you get an idea and you just kind of go, wow, I've got to go do that. You know, I've got to go do that. And so you rush out to go get the materials and you sit down and you start making this piece of art, you know, and that is the power. That is the power of the universe, because the power of the universe is creativity. The power of the universe is what created the world. And so we're lucky to be born with a little piece of that within us, especially if, you know, you're born, you know, with as an artist, are more probably in touch with it in the artistic sense, you know, because you can do it all, that power is in all of us. But as an artist, especially one that works with their hands, you know, you're looking at that power from, you know, it comes from beyond.
I think you're saying something really important, because over and over again, we're finding that representation matters, not just because it matters, but because it really, really matters. It shapes how we treat other people, how we think about other people, how we go about our own image building and our artistic work. And I think this is really important because over and over again, we keep having to speak up and say, you know, the mascot issue is not honoring us, or, you know, these terms, you know, we had to change the names of some places, some parks, some rivers, because the original name was a derogatory term to women, you know. So over and over again, we have this kind of issue where we find out it does matter what we say. It matters what we call things.
Absolutely.
And how we treat people. And so what
Absolutely.
Would you say to people who say, well, you know, we've been using this term so long, it's just the way it is, get over it or let it go?
I would say no.
Right.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. No, we're going to take this back and we're going to think about it a little bit more. Think about it a little bit more. Don't just accept that, because this term lazy stitch has, there's more to it. You just don't see it, you know, out mm-hmm. there. But in my research, I've seen it. And there's a booklet that's out there that's pretty recent. Mm-hmm. And I think it was put out in like the 1990s. And in there is a whole entire diagram
right.
that shows stitch. And this is teaching Native American children mm-hmm. Native art. And it says, lazy squaw stitch.
Yeah, I've seen that book.
So see? So mm-hmm. when I look at this, I think, all right, somebody a long time ago looked at women and they viewed them as, you know, as Native women, as, I mean, you can read this, you can see this when you go back and you look at all of these old anthropologists, you know, from those early days, you know, when they were studying Native peoples, because they came from such a patriarchal society, they didn't think too highly of women,
mm-hmm.
and they call women dredges and hags.
Yeah, winches.
You know,
yeah.
And so when they looked upon these women, they're sitting there doing the beadwork, they saw this as like all these lazy, you know, these lazy people, you know, mm-hmm. sitting around doing nothing, you know, and so that's where this came from. And so eventually they dropped the word squaw and now it became lazy stitch.
Right.
And so it's only half derogatory now, but it is, it's still really demeaning. And mm-hmm. so that's how I see it. When I'm looking at it, I'm thinking like, well, that's, you know, that's probably most likely where it came from. And the women who were the women who elevated this art form were venerated women.
Hmm.
So lazy is not, it's not a virtue.
Right.
And the virtue that these plains women who were held in such great esteem, it was industriousness. That's industry was what they valued.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were an industrious woman, and so that means you got things done. You weren't
yeah.
lazy. You got
right.
things done. And if you didn't get things done, you starved and you died on the plains if you weren't out there working all the time. So
mm-hmm.
it just, like I said, it just deserves mm-hmm. It deserves to have its original term restored. And this term in Lakota comes from what they called it was hump stitch. It's
mm.
like a little hump, you know, in the ground, you know. but that word, hump stitch, kind of in English, kind of has different connotations that I looked at it and I went like, all right, well, that's not going to really
right.
fly out
yeah.
there.
No.
Yeah. So as I looked at the word, because the original word is apahaka,
mm.
and so within the word is the word paha. It means hill. That's what it means. And so I looked at it and I went like, okay, we shorten this to baha stitch, and we can call it. And if you're not comfortable saying it in Lakota, you can say it in English. And now it's hill stitch. So it's
mm.
the same word. You know, and it's easier to remember. And I look at it as like we all have hills. All Native peoples have sacred hills everywhere. The entire world has a sacred hill.
That's right.
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So we can relate to this throughout the entire world. We can all see this, you know, as like, yeah, I have a sacred hill. I mean, I look right out my studio right here and I can see hills right from my studio that remind me of home. Mm-hmm. They remind me very much of South Dakota. And I grew up in South Dakota. And you might think that South Dakota is flat, the flat plains, but it's not. When you get closer to where the river is, it's rolling hills. There's rolling hills everywhere. And there are hills. There are, you know, we have, of course, the sacred black hills of Baja Sapa. And look at even there's the word right there.
There's the word. Baja, right.
Yeah. It's black hills. That's what it means. And so these hills there were many sacred hills, you know, that where all of our ceremonies took place. And but everybody in the entire world has sacred hills. So I just looked at it and just went like, this is the right word. This is the right thing to do here. And so we just, like I said, we just take this back and restore dignity, you know, to it. And I think that this won't be very hard. We don't even have to get into the, you know, was it a, you know, a racial thing, you know, was it a, you know, demeaning thing, all that. Mm-hmm. We don't even have to do that. All we have to do is start saying the indigenous word. Very easy word to say, easy mm-hmm. to remember, mm-hmm. and we can restore this without getting angry. You know, all we have to do is take this back. That's all we have to do. And then we restore it. And we show our children, we teach our kids, you know, this was its original meaning, you know, and that brings it back. And I think that it's been a very long time, you know, since the venerated women, you know, brought, I mean, it's like over 100 years, you know, mm-hmm. since they had brought the artwork to its pinnacle. And slowly over time, the stories got lost or got diluted. You know, people didn't remember them or, mm-hmm. you know, we just got taught in schools, you know, something different. You know, maybe we were taught by non-Native teachers who called it, you know, lazy stitch. And we just kind of got used to that, and we didn't question it any longer. And even some people don't even call it lazy stitch; they just call it beadwork. But to bring the original story back around mm-hmm. to it brings beauty to it. It restores the beauty of it, mm-hmm. and and then you realize, oh my goodness, I'm doing this work, and there's just so much more to it. Mm-hmm. And so when these women were doing this work, they were interpreting the powers of the universe. And where I come from, it's not one God. It is a council of the powers of the universe. Mm. It is a council. That's what it is. And so they were interpreting that through color. Mm-hmm. Because there were four sacred colors that they worked with, and the colors were yellow, green, blue, and red. And you'll see wow. that throughout Lakota work. And you'll see it broken in usually into fours. And you'll see a lot of mirroring going on because we believed everything that happened in the sky happened on the earth. There was a mirroring effect. And so that's why you see so much symmetry mm-hmm. in the work. And these were prayer blessings. These were prayer blessings that these women were able to do this. This, like I said, the power came through them, spoke through them, and they used their hands in this sacred manner. And it was a sacred act for them to do this. And it's the work that came before it, of course, was the sacred quill work. These were sacred societies. Mm-hmm. That beadwork and quill work were sacred societies, just as powerful as the men's societies were. And so they needed the women to be the artists to interpret, you know, a lot of what the stories were. And so they're the ones who decorate and adorn the people with these this sacred imagery. Mm-hmm. It would be kind of like walking into a beautiful church and you see it all adorned inside with all its sacred imagery. Well, that's the same as what we were doing. We were doing that too, and we were adorning our families with it. And there's a lot more meaning to it out there. And so they needed the women, you know, to create this sacred art. And anyway, that's what they were trying to do. And so when you look at the artwork, you'll look at it completely different if you know more about it.
Mm-hmm.
If you just know more about what it was about. And so this is like my way of saying, you know, look into, you know, if you're going along and you're doing the beadwork, know everything about it. Go back and look into its history and find out about it. Find out about its roots. Know its roots. Know where you're, where it all comes from. You know the complete story. Mm-hmm. And when you know the complete story, your work is going to get even stronger. You know, your ties to the culture that you come from are going to be stronger because you're going to know something about it. And it will affect the way your work turns out, too. If you follow what they believed, you know, what each culture believed, you know, like I said, we had sacred colors, you know, that we worked with it. It had meaning. It all goes back to a beautiful creation story that was told in the very beginning. That's why we have those four initial colors in the very beginning. And so you'll see them. And they're not just primary colors. These were the sacred colors of the universe. And so because we are an indigenous people, we are inspired by nature, by the power of nature.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we were interpreting. And so I believe that, you know, we can get back to some of that, because there's also healing. There's great healing in art. The more art you do, the more you heal. So if you've got some emotional damage, some spiritual damage that was, you know, that you may have some trauma, you know, something that may have happened to you, you make art and art heals you because it allows you to think while you're working. It allows you to work through a lot of emotions, allows you to think about things. And by golly, you get done, by the time you get done with that piece of work, you kind of feel like you've kind of worked through some things, and you come out stronger, you know, on the other side of it. So it has power. It has the power to heal your spirit, you know, heal things and make you come out stronger. And you grow through it. So that's why I do art, because mm-hmm. that's what I've always known about it. It's something that really came just kind of naturally to me. And so I keep doing it. And the more I do this, the stronger I get and the wiser I get. And anyway, I want to like give some of that back, you know, mm-hmm. too, mm-hmm. because I've been, like I said, I've been studying all of this, and, you know, not everyone in the culture knows a lot of these things. You know, so I've done the work, and so, but this is what I have come up with, and I just see this as like I say, this restoration of just this one little word can help heal us in so many ways, because like you're saying, the power of a word, the power of a word, and that power of that word has healing power, and that's something that we can take back that belongs to us as an indigenous people. But we also will share this with the world. We will share, like I said, everybody has sacred hills, you know, so we can share this with the entire world, and the whole entire world can celebrate, you know, artwork, you know, be this type of artwork. If they, you know, if they do this type of work, you know, then they know the real story and its real strength.
Mm-hmm. Magnificent. I mean, this is magnificent. I always have admired you, and I look up to you a lot as an artist, as a person, as a venerated woman. And hearing you say this is just marvelous, truly. It is. And so what can we do practically? Because I'm thinking about several things. I'm thinking about the books. I mean, I'm thinking about the teachers I had that used that term, lazy stitch. They literally said it like it was no big deal. I think about being in a craft shop one time, and they had these little papers that you could pull off that would tell you how to make a craft out of what you bought there, right, different things you could do. And one of them literally said lazy stitch, like printed, and a stack of that for people to take. And
Well, we need to start using this word the same way they started using it. Mm-hmm. They put it out there in print. Mm-hmm. They started, you know, everybody just kind of picked up on it. Like I said, as the years went by and some of our grandmothers started dying out and the next culture took over and, we lost touch with that. Mm-hmm. And so if we take this word back and we start putting it in writing and the museums adopt it now and they start using it there, you know, then we're going to change it. And if we do not accept, you know, the word lazy any longer, and we just say, no, hill stitch, Baja stitch, you know, this is what we're calling it now. This is what we're going to call it because it deserves this more dignified term, and start using it. That's what you do. You just take it back. We own this word. This is from our people and the surrounding people. And we're going to take this back by using it every day. This is what we're going to use. And this is what I'm going to call it, you know, from now on. When I write something on Facebook, it's not going to be lazy stitch. It's going to be hill stitch. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can even say it in your own language. You know, if you're not comfortable with the Lakota language, then you can say it in your own indigenous language. Mm-hmm. You know, I was going to say that some of the surrounding tribes, they have their particular way of using this stitch. Like the Cheyennes, their stitch has like a little hitch. You know, it's a little bit different than the one, the style that the Lakotas use. And theirs is called the Cheyenne stitch. You know, so, and then there's the Crow stitch. But how come the Lakotas is the lazy stitch?
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
So, you know, so, I mean, we could call it the Lakota stitch, you know, too. But, you know, but like I say, I think that using the term that the grandmothers used, you know, themselves, I think. And like I say, it hill stitch, it's just so easy. It's so simple to remember.
I think this is amazing. And I'm so thankful that you're doing this great work. And we can do it too. You know, names matter. You know, we can amplify because this has an effect on all of society. Yes, we're talking about a stitch, but we're also talking about people. who have names in languages other than English, right? Don't give them nicknames. Don't shorten it. Don't change it. Call them what they call themselves. And, I mean, that's what I see. I see so much power in this because names matter. Representation matters. How we see ourselves and how other people see us matters. We have to go to commercial, but when we come back, I would be so honored if you would talk to us some about your own journey as an artist. Because you are phenomenal, really a treasure. So everybody, sit right there. And while we have these commercials, don't go away. We'll be right back.
Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her. Then pray her and never look back. Once the world forgave you.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of all.
I'm Wes.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drum over here? Just
clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about...
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds. Can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Have you been diagnosed with prostate cancer? You may be eligible to participate in a clinical research study for an investigational procedure called high-intensity focused ultrasound, or HIFU. This is a minimally invasive procedure. It is radiation-free, may destroy prostate cancer cells, and potentially has few side effects. This investigational procedure is performed at no cost to the patient. Call today at 1-866-619-6026 or visit www.theprostatecancerstudy.com. Have you been diagnosed with prostate cancer? You may be eligible to participate in a clinical research study for an investigational procedure called high-intensity focused ultrasound, or HIFU. Call today at 1-866-619-6026 or visit www.theprostatecancerstudy.com.
Hi everyone, Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years, Smokey's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair? Or...
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Extinction is forever. To save America's most iconic and imperiled species from extinction, we must fight for their future. Fight to save the natural lands that wildlife call home. Fight to limit pollution. Fight for smart development. Fight for their future. And fight for ours. For so goes nature, so goes us.
When you take your car in for an oil change, a good mechanic will also take care of other routine maintenance to make sure your car runs safely and efficiently. Protecting your health isn't much different. When you get a COVID-19 vaccine, it's important to make sure you're also protected from other serious but preventable diseases. It's easy and convenient to get other routine vaccines at the same time as a COVID-19 vaccine. So make sure you ask a healthcare professional about other vaccines you may need to maintain your health.
Come and save her. Let her believe they get on their knees. They pray her. And never look back once the world forgave.
I love this conversation that we're having today, and I am such a fan of the guest we have with us today, someone that I truly admire. And I'm so thankful that this great artist has joined us today. Would you please reintroduce yourself to our friends?
I am Rhonda Holy Bear Luckle, the artist of the plains.
I love it. I think it's wonderful. For those who may not yet be familiar with your very much renowned and admired work, will you tell us some about your art and what you do?
Well, I make plain figures. So we don't call it dolls anymore because they've kind of moved beyond the doll stage. Like mm-hmm. dolls are like for children. Mm-hmm. So these are figures. So it's more of a figurative art form. And they're highly, highly detailed using all kinds of antique materials. And then I research a lot of the history. I try to make, you know, things very accurate, you know, as accurate as I possibly can. And then some things I, based on that research of history and imagery, I'll come up with a lot of my own designs, you know, as well. But always keeping everything so that it kind of looks more like the clothing that was worn in the 1800s and mm-hmm. right around 1900 or so. But I kind of like that look, you know. So that's what they're, you know, kind of based on. And I don't just make a standing like figures. I make horses, you know, as well, and mm-hmm. seated figures and dancing figures. But they're all based on the plains. So it's not just Lakota. I also love and admire some of the surrounding tribes. And so mm-hmm. that's why it's Rhonda Holy Bear, the Lakota artist from the plains, because I try to stick with my own culture as much as I can. But I also really love some of the things that the other tribes do. And so I'll make things that, you know, in a respectful, always try to do everything respectful of their tribe and show them in a very dignified way. So just because I admire the whole plains life, you know, up there. So, and it's because that's where I'm from, originally from. So, so that's what I work in.
Mm. Well, we are interested in seeing your work. How could we find your work? How could we see it for ourselves?
You can find me on social media through Facebook. Just look for Rhonda Holybear, Lakota Artist of the Plains. You can find me on Instagram under the same name. And I'm out there. All you have to do is Google. All kinds of stuff will pop up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you can also visit my work in my work is represented in many, many museums out there. So, like, if you were in the Southwest, you might go to the Ted Coe Museum, just acquired a piece. Like, there are several places in New Mexico that you can see my work. Let's see, there's in Kansas, there are several pieces, the Nerman Museum and the Spencer Museum. They have several pieces. It must be 8 or 9 pieces represented in Kansas alone. The Smithsonian, the Indian portion of the Smithsonian, they have some of my work. So that's the National Museum of the American Indian. In Chicago, the Field Museum, all over the place. There's like so many of them, I can't
wow.
remember them.
Oh, that's amazing. Well deserved, absolutely.
Well, thank you. I've been at this for such a very, very long time, like since like the 1970s.
Oh, wow.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I started when I was a kid, you know, just, yeah. was just a child. And then, you know, and then I picked it back up again when I was a teenager. And yeah, I was flipping through a book and I saw a picture of an antique Lakota doll, and it brought back memories of when my grandmother taught me through a story when I was a kid, and I remembered that story that she told and how her grandmother made her a little doll
mm-hmm.
and took some of her hair, clipped her little hair, and put the hair on the little doll, and it was beaded, and she told me this story when I was a kid, and so I that's why I make dolls. I make dolls because of that story that my grandmother told me, and so I rushed out to go get all the materials and went to work, and I had a doll in a few weeks. So there was one standing there, and I even took my own waist long hair at the time, and I cut some of it off, and I put it in the doll. I don't do that anymore.
Right.
But I wouldn't have any hair left on it. But I put it on the doll and I braided it, and there was a doll. And so I just kind of got started, you know, from there. And I got a little job at a little art gallery that sold Native art in Chicago. And the owners of the gallery really liked what I did. And they asked if I might be interested in selling them. And so I said, yeah, sure. And I think I sold the very first one for like $80. I really thought I was rich.
Yeah, that's right.
And they asked if I had more because the one piece sold right away. And I said, yeah, I have some more. So I brought in like 6 more of them. And one lady walked in and she bought every single one of them. And then I just kind of went, oh,
wow.
Yeah. And so then I moved down to the Southwest. I won a fellowship in, I think it was 1985. And with that fellowship, they give you a booth space there at Indian Market. And I brought all my work there. I sold everything. It was all gone, like in 10 minutes, everything was gone.
Amazing.
And so I really, I just kind of, you know, kept going and kept going. And the figures grew and grew and grew. And I grew and, you know, they became more elaborate. And here we are, you know, today.
Yes.
Still making them.
That's amazing to me because, each one is just so fascinating. And I wondered, because they are figures, they are people, do you feel like they have a life or an energy or a vibe of their own?
It's art. And mm-hmm. so if you make art that's really good,
yeah.
make good, high-quality art, it'll have a vibe. Yeah, it'll have a vibe. I mm-hmm. wouldn't say that it's... a life of its own, but
uh-huh.
I would say that it radiates a beauty. It radiates a beauty. So what
uh-huh.
you're picking up on is the beauty that came from within me. Like I said, the beauty that pours through me. I am
uh-huh.
nothing but the hands, and this beauty comes from beyond. And so what you are seeing,
uh-huh.
it radiates from the universe itself. So if you you know, not all of them. Some pieces have more, you know, than other pieces do, but the ones that are the most powerful,
uh-huh.
it's probably because I put a lot of effort into them and I was open to receive that blessing that came, that poured out of my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you're seeing. You know, when you see good art, it'll have a vibe to it and you'll be very attracted to it and you won't be able to resist its beauty. That beauty is a blessing onto you when you're looking at it. And that's why you're looking at it and you're in awe of it. And it is because it is from a power that is beyond. And so that's what I try to strive for. Like I said, it doesn't happen every single time, you know, but some pieces are more powerful than other pieces.
Uh-huh.
And I think that some of the stories that go along with my work, like maternal journey story, the horse, the crow woman on a horse with her whole entire family, because
uh-huh.
that is about motherhood. Everyone relates to the story because everyone has a mother. And so that piece, even the horse is a mother. She has a little baby
yeah.
running alongside there too. And she's got three children.
Uh-huh.
And I have seen mothers actually cry, come up to me with tears in their eyes. And they'll say, I have three children, you know, and because it honors motherhood in such a beautiful, radiant way, this is what is speaking to them. And so, like I said, some pieces are just really, really special, like the last Lakota horse raid and her sister, which is one of the greatest pieces, sees the horse's woman. They have radiant beauty like that. So, you know, it's just, like I said, some pieces just have more of it than others,
mm-hmm.
you know, and some, and I think that put adding the dimension to them, you know, the sculptural quality that they have. Like sometimes I'll work in clay and sometimes I'll work with the wood. And then that just gives it more of a sculptural dimension and gives it a kind of lifelike appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I think that really helps a lot too.
Oh, this is revelation. It's really lovely to hear about your artistic process, and I really thank you for sharing that part with us. What are you working on right now?
I am working on catching up with some back orders. I won Santa Fe Indian Market last year, best of show 2021.
Congratulations.
And that back ordered me a bit, so mm-hmm. I'm trying to catch up on a back order. I have a little family, a little Lakota family that I'm working on. So a father, a mother, and a little child. And
mm-hmm.
they're very detailed. They're not real tall. They're about 13 inches tall, you know,
mm-hmm.
Just a little set. And then I have like a couple of other pieces, you know, that I've got to get caught up on. And then I have another piece that's in progress, and it is a portrait of my grandmother and myself.
Oh, my.
And that's going to take some time to make it. It won't be ready for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also have a show coming up that will be at the Barry Museum, which is a brand new museum. It's only a few years old. And that is in Norfolk, Virginia. And that will be happening in the fall, so like October. And so
mm-hmm.
it'll be up for about 5 months, and there'll be five pieces in there. And you'll be able to see Seize the Horse's Woman in that exhibit, and another piece called Greyhawk, and a couple of my other pieces, like my older work, my younger work.
That's amazing. I mean, I'm really looking forward to seeing all of this. If someone
yeah.
sees your art for the very first time at one of these installations or exhibitions, you know, and we certainly
mm-hmm.
congratulate you on your big win at
thank
Santa
you.
Fe. And they don't see you. They just see the piece of art. What
mm-hmm.
do you want it to tell them about you?
Like I said, just that just a woman sitting here in her quiet little studio, and I'm trying to make the pieces that are memorable and that will last a very, very long time. I'm trying to elevate the form of figure making these figures from the plains, and I want them to go into museums where people can see them for a very long time, though. But everyone will have a chance to be able to see them, walk all the way around the piece and enjoy them. I just want to make some memorable pieces that speak to the life of the plains people. That's, you know, I want to be able to show them almost in miniature form what life was like for them. You know, so when you saw a magnificent scene on the plains, and it was a woman on a horse, and she had all her children, and they were moving across the plains, this is what you would have saw. You know, if you see a magnificent Lakota chief with all his regalia on, you know, and you're seeing it in miniature form, if you lived during that time, you know, even now you can still see, you know, people still wear these outfits, but if you lived during that time, that's what you would see, you know, the magnificence of that, the glory of that special time. And so that's what I hope that my work will be remembered for. And, you know, so I want to, you know, put these in some museums where they, you know, because of their miniature form, you know, it's like one of these things where you can get a sense of what the plains people were like and are like. Mm-hmm. It's really great for children because the kids can come around because they're almost like doll-like, you know, except that they're at a more elevated level. And, but it's, you know, kids could walk around it and they can see this, and it kind of like wakes them up to, you know, to say, oh, that's what it was like. You know, this is what the American Indians were like, you know, so it, you know, you can ask questions about it. So I would like to make really memorable pieces and pieces that are, that stir people emotionally. And like I say, when I see the women cry a little bit, you know, and they get stirred emotionally like that. And even some men, they have told me the same thing, that when they're standing before them, they feel this great emotion inside them. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I would hope, that, you know, that I can put as many pieces like that out there, you know, for the world to be able to see and experience. I'll keep doing this as long as I can do it, as long as my eyes will hold up, and I'm not doing too bad. I've got some magnifiers and some good lighting.
Good for you.
I just keep going as long as I can do it. And I have, you know, like I said, I've got some other plans. I've got plans for another horse, another figure that involves horses. And so there's, you know, plenty more to do, you know, out there.
Yes. And you're doing it wonderfully well. I'm really, I look forward to seeing all of these great new creations, and I treasure the art that you have already made. I want to make sure that we have a get-off-the-couch step, as we call it around here, an action step when it comes to never using lazy stitch as a term ever again. And so I'm going to just ask you for a few minutes, will you speak? I mean, we have an intertribal audience, of course, and we have an international audience. And so this is an opportunity. We also have homeschoolers and students, college students that listen as part of curriculum. And so this is a chance to really, let's all change what we say. Let's all change this once and for all. And so would you speak directly to our friends just from your heart and help us to embrace this new term?
Yes, I would say to all the people out there, beaters, and creatives, and teachers, historians, those, you know, who are working in museums, that this is a change that we can make. It's really easy to do. All you have to do is say the word paha stitch, hill stitch, if you, you know, prefer. And read my essay, learn about a little bit about the, you know, the story of why I would like to change this. I think that it's just the right thing to do. It's the good and the right, the moral thing to do is to restore the original word. And that it doesn't take that much effort. you know, to change it, you know, to relearn this and reclaim it, restore it, you know, put it back out there the way that it should be. And that brings dignity back, you know, to this art form. You know, not that it's really ever left, because we're still doing it. It's just we want to restore that name, you know, back to what it originally was. And like I say, this is one that we can win. Mm-hmm. If we can change the Washington Redskins mm-hmm. name, you know, then we can change this. This is even easier, you know. So one little thing at a time, one step at a time, but this is a real simple one that we can do. We can all do this if we just embrace the word and keep saying it, you know, just keep putting it out there. If you care about it, you know, then start saying it. The more we say it, then the more everyone will get accustomed to it. And because there was a guy who was wanted to change it to Lane Stitch. And The problem with that was that he even saw, you know, that there was something not right about Lazy Stitch, and he wanted to change it to Lane Stitch. But the thing is that he didn't come from the culture. I'm from the culture. I'm from the Lakota culture. Mm-hmm. And so the reason why his didn't take off is because it didn't come from the heart of the people. This comes from the heart of the people. And so if you feel this in your heart, then start changing, you know, the word, you know, really, really simple. Baja Stitch, Hill Stitch, very simple.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Please tell us one more time how we find you, how we see your art, how we connect with you, because I would love for our friends that are educators that listen, you know, organizations that listen. I write for several Native publications. I would love mm-hmm. for people to contact you, maybe presentations. Who yes. knows, you know, to help yes. really move uh-huh. this forward. How can we do that?
Well, you can contact me at rhondaholybear.com, and you just send me an email there, and you can also find my email, again, like I said, on Facebook. Look for the name Rhonda Holy Bear, Lakota Artist of the Plains. So find me on Facebook. You can message me there. You can also message me on Instagram, and you can find me, you know, on just regular Facebook. You know, although I've got, you know, so many friends on there right now, it's just best to use my more formal page. But that's where you can find me. And I have learned how to put together presentations, and I am willing to do some of that, you know, to put the word out there, if that helps. You know, we can definitely put this into a presentation form using imagery and talking a little bit more about this. Yeah, that definitely can be done. And I am, you know, very interested and wanting, really. I feel pretty passionate about putting the word out there. So I'm the one in the lead here, so I've got to, you know, got to get out there and put the word out. You know, people will follow, you know, if you put the word out there and you just put the education out there, educates people, you know, so that they can see, you know, I can make my point, you know, and then if they can choose to adopt the word or, you know, or not, you know, but definitely find me. Like I said, on social media, that's the best place to find me.
Thank you so much for having this conversation with us. You're a blessing to me. You're a blessing to many, many others. And I really appreciate you enlightening us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you to all of you who listen. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for spending the time with us. And we appreciate our sponsors, the folks here at the network, every friend of ours. If you've ever done anything nice for this show, for me, we are grateful and we say thank you. And just in case no one's told you today, the Creator loves you and we do too. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I can't wait until we're all together for another conversation with Dawn Karima.
Yeah, boy.
Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray her. Then pray her, and never look back once the world forgave you. You come and save her. Better believe it, get on your knees and pray her. Then pray her and never look back once the world forgave.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.